Double T, thank you so much. It's Bill and it's Anna Balaval sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will be back a week from today. Eric Zorn also off this week, but Kristen McQueary, the fine, fine columnist for your Chicago Tribune, joins us. Kristen, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You know, the last time I saw you, this was so nice. You brought your mom and dad to the old Tribune Tower because, I guess they had never seen the building? They had never been in the building before? Or you just wanted to see one more time?
They had been in the building before, but they hadn't met Bill and Wendy before. And so they sort of felt like this might be their last chance to sneak into that studio. So you were kind enough to take a picture with them and say hello, and they loved it.
They were both so nice. And then at the end, your dad whispered something to me that I'll never forget. He said, "Can I have my money back?" So I don't know what that means, but yes, he can have his money back.
Okay.
They're very, very nice people,
fans.
Your mom and dad. Such nice people.
Aww.
There's so much going on in and around Chicago. Can we start out by talking about the protest that took place over the weekend?
Yes. So there was a police shooting that instigated protests almost immediately because this individual from South Shore was a barbershop owner. He was sort of well-known in the community. And to people who don't know South Shore, this is an area of the city just south of Hyde Park that was home to many middle-class black families for years, and it has become less stable, I would say, over the past 10 years. It kind of ranks up there among one of the city's more violent communities.
And is it? Now
it is. It's pretty high on the list, and they've had a difficult time with economic redevelopment. Mm-hmm. They've had grocers leave, and then just big vacant buildings. And so it's an area of the city where they wanted more police protection. They've been asking for it. Now they have it, and it was one of these kind of walking street patrols where they encountered someone who we don't really know the circumstances. They thought he was acting suspicious. He did in fact have a weapon, and as he was spinning around and sort of trying to get away from police, it looked like he was reaching for his waistband, and he was shot and killed.
Yeah.
Police released the video today, right?
A portion of the video. Yeah, not the full video, but a portion of the video. Without the sound, which is interesting.
I know. So there are so many questions still. Right. And we still have this issue with even dash cam video that we saw previously where the sound is not on there. So you don't know what they were saying to him. Were they asking him to, you know, freeze, stop, to hold your fire, hold your weapon, whatever. We don't know any of that. But the video that they released, which is edited to favor police, does show that he had a gun in his waistband and two magazines.
Yeah.
So,
is it possible? Here's one of the rumors that has been floating around since this took place: is that the sound doesn't kick in automatically, like you would think on a body cam that there'd be sound all the time, but they have to somehow activate it, and it's not instantaneous; that it takes 5 or 10 seconds before it clicks in. Is that a possibility?
I believe Superintendent Eddie Johnson said that at the press conference that he had that they have to. This was the video that was released was a lapel officer's camera, and that you have to activate it, and yes, there's like a 30-second delay.
Oh, 30-second. Yeah.
I believe that's what he said. Yeah. So there
was no call. I'm sorry, Kirsten.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
There was no call, right? Or was it they were just patrolling and saw something suspicious?
We don't really know.
We don't know.
They thought, it sounds like, from the initial reports, they thought it looked like he was armed. And I don't know if that was because it was bulky in his clothing, or he was touching his waist or something because he got nervous because police were around.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know. And it's also unclear. Some reports are saying that he did, in fact, have a FOID card.
So, I heard that, too,
so he was allowed to have a weapon, but he was concealed carrying, which is not, unless you have a concealed carry permit, you can't do that. And so there's a question as to whether he really wasn't doing anything wrong. I read somewhere that he had just finished cutting hair and he was on his way to a bachelor party, but maybe he was trying to get away because he knew that you can't conceal carry. That's, I think, a felony.
All right, so that's one of the biggest questions in this. This is what I was going to ask you is, what is protocol if a police officer or officers say to somebody, for whatever reason, we need to have a word with you, stay where you are, don't leave, and that person starts to run, what's your next best move? How exactly do you handle that?
I mean, I don't know. These are split-second decisions.
Right.
And I think if he would have just either cooperated or went while he was running and spinning away, it looks like he reaches for his waist.
Yeah.
So maybe if he would have just kept his hands up while he was leaving, I think there's always question as to whether police are using too much force in these incidents. But at this point, they are aware that he has a weapon, and this will now go through the police disciplinary board process and all of that to see whether it was justified.
So the police officers believe, as he is fleeing, that they have seen what appears to be a weapon on his waistband, and then as he's reaching for it, and that's the part of the footage that was released today, is him running, reaching down there. So if you're the police officer, you would assume that he's reaching for a weapon to shoot back at us, or not, I shouldn't say shoot back, because they hadn't taken a shot quite yet, but the potential was there for him to reach down, pick up a weapon, and shoot at them, correct?
That's what they believe and will say. And as he's doing this, another squad car pulls up, an SUV pulls up behind him.
Yeah.
So you do have, I mean, he's somewhat surrounded at that point.
Yeah.
But you just have to question, why did he run?
Right.
You know, if it was just that he was concealed carrying, or did he have something else on him? I don't know. Initially, the report came out that he was unarmed. And I think that's what got the community very upset mm-hmm. very quickly.
Yeah.
And they also, when a scene like this happens, the police have to cordon it off for hours. I mean, it takes a long time to collect evidence, and the crowd started pressing in on them, and then you saw some of the police kind of pushing back,
yeah.
trying to get them outside the perimeter of the scene, and then the following night there was an actual march.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then discuss this and other stories further with Krista McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 gets it done. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Anna Balaval sitting in for Wendy Snyder. She'll be back on Wednesday. Krista McQuarrie is our guest, columnist and writer for the Chicago Tribune, member of the Chicago Tribune editorial board. We're talking about the protests over the shooting that took place in South Shore a couple short days ago. Let's get a phone call in here. Larry, you're thinking what we're all thinking, but go ahead and say it. Larry? I'm not getting him. Oh, there you are. Hi,
yeah,
Larry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Go ahead.
Okay. It always irritates me when I see all these big civic leaders. I don't care who they are, if they're Republican, Democrat, white, or African American. They never start off by telling these people, if a policeman approaches you, stop, be courteous, don't reach for anything, don't run, don't make any moves. They always want to blame the police right away. What's the policeman supposed to do? Stop and wait till the man pulls something out and shoots the policeman first? That's all I have to say. The civic leaders should speak up and tell these people to be more courteous and not make any hesitant moves and drop everything.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. I guess for most of us, the impulse, if a police officer says, stay where you are, I got a couple of questions for you, it would only make sense to do exactly that, wouldn't it?
Well, right. I mean, if you don't want to incite the police, you follow their instruction.
Yeah.
So it leads the question as to whether or not he knew he was doing something wrong, because, of course, he did exactly what he wasn't supposed to do. They also put his hands on him, though, at different points, and it's unclear why they grabbed his wrist.
Yeah.
If you're just stopping and talking to someone on the street, I think the issue is not whether or not the police needed to do something. It's whether the force is too strong.
Right.
The choice that they make in that
That's
moment.
That's a good point, yeah.
Not that they couldn't have chased him down, or that right. he did something wrong. Like, why don't they have rubber bullets? We keep talking about tasers. There was a car coming out. Now, again, these are split second decisions, and I am not second guessing right. the police officer who did this right now.
The videotape was released in record time. I mean,
mm-hmm. yes.
a day later, which
it's the first time that this happens.
It's usually much,
while.
Much longer.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, why? Is that a PR move? It's got to be a PR move, right? To say, hey, I know you've heard some bad things about this incident. We're here to show you he did have a weapon. That's why they're doing it, right?
Well, actually, after the Laquan McDonald shooting, and that videotape was suppressed, as you know,
for almost
over
a year. Over a year? Was it?
It was. I think the incident happened in November, and the tape wasn't really. Or on act. It was a little over
about
a year.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Some of those police reforms that moved through the city council require the police department to release within a much quicker time period. It's not as fast. I want to say they still have days to do it, but
mm-hmm.
they eventually do have to release it. Yes, in this case, I think they released it quickly because they were hearing that the crowd was hearing that he was unarmed, and
right.
they wanted to be sure that they understood that he was, in fact, armed.
Can we expect to see the full tape soon?
I think within 60 days they have to release whatever they have. And I'm sure there's not just that officer's camera, but other officers on the scene, cars that showed up, surveillance that's on, a lot of those intersections mm-hmm. have cameras up on the on the poles and stoplights and such. So I think we will see more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about Aaron Schock for just a little bit?
Sure.
He's always fascinating. What's going on with Aaron Schock? Explain to people who don't know the backstory on him.
Oh, so Aaron Schock was a rising star in the Republican Party, a U.S. congressman from Central Illinois, from Peoria.
Yeah.
One of these people was like a whiz kid. He was on his town school board when he was a teenager or something. Very attractive young guy, got elected to Congress in 2008. And he got into, he had an Instagram account. He loved a jet set. He led a very glamorous life.
Yeah.
And he got himself into trouble by doing one thing. He redecorated his office in D.C., not in eggshell and very conservatively and cheaply like you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
He had it decorated in a Downton Abbey style.
Oh. But wasn't it with public funds?
So
that's why he got in trouble.
Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't his taste in British decor.
Absolutely. But it drew the attention of a reporter showed up to see the office. And then they started asking a question. Well, how much did this cost?
What's with the chandelier, Aaron?
What's with the chandelier? That's all it took. Politico started going through his campaign fund and finding all these expenses for airplane rides. The government paid for some of it. His campaign fund was paying for other things. The Downton Abbey decor was unveiled in February. He stepped down in March.
Yeah.
So it took 1 month. Mm-hmm. Then a year later, he was indicted. But he faces 24 counts of misspending money, lying to the authorities. It turns out he bought his staffer a new car. And the trial date has just been determined for January 28th, I believe, of next year. So over the next few months, we'll figure out if he's going to plea out or if they're going to have to start presenting, you know, getting ready for trial.
Basically. Did he at any point say or claim, I didn't know you couldn't buy stuff like this with public fund money? Was that ever an issue, or did he just blatantly say, yeah, I live an extravagant life. I needed my office to reflect that.
I think, no, he didn't say that.
Because it looks like, well, you've seen Dean Richards' office over at WGN TV News.
It's right next to mine.
It looks exactly
It does not.
He welcomed this probe because he was too flashy.
Yeah.
And no, he basically is saying that a lot of this was administrative error, that he repaid some of this money.
Sure he did.
That things were campaign related, and so they do qualify as a campaign expense. But it's hard to justify that when you look at, you know, private planes that he would charter from Peoria to go to Bears games.
Right.
Does that feel like a government expense
Not
to you
really.
Guys?
No.
Yeah.
You know, did he move to L.A.? I read somewhere that he had moved to L.A.
I know he was there for a while to get away from all of the press. I don't know if he's back here now. I mean, he also went to the AMAs, the Country Music Awards. I mean, does that feel like a government expense?
Yes.
Campaign expense somehow?
Okay. You need to meet with Travis Tritt from time to time.
Sometimes.
Miranda Lambert.
You
know?
You need to.
A resort in Greece to hang out and sit by the pool.
And take half-naked pictures.
Don't you kind of... There's part of me that admires a guy like this, but then I go, wait, I'm paying for this.
No.
I don't admire that. No. I just like a guy who goes, I'm just going to put it all out there. I'm going to buy stuff that's insane.
Admire is not the word.
I don't think he thought he was going to get caught. Just
that's
like Jesse
Jackson
Jr.
Right.
I was just going to say, it sounds very similar to that.
Exactly. And I will say this, in Aaron Schock's defense, he's no longer a member of Congress, but... The state campaign finance laws are really loosey-goosey.
Like
People go to restaurants, buy food for their friends using campaign money, not government money, but campaign money. And as long as you can kind of justify it as like a staff expense or, you know, I have a campaign car and you're driving around in a Lexus.
Yeah.
The state laws are, there's not a lot of teeth.
Yeah.
Federal law is much stricter.
Have either of you spent much time in Washington, D.C.?
I went to school in D.C.
All right, so you know this. If you eat in any of the restaurants in D.C., the cost is astronomically high.
Yeah.
And I spent time there, and I said, how could anyone afford to eat in restaurants like this with any regularity? I'm only here for a week. But if you lived here, and
it's an expensive town.
They said, but here's what they said. They go, it's because nobody pays for anything here.
Oh.
It's all a write-off. It's tax money that pays for every meal that's ever eaten in this restaurant. They could charge whatever they want.
Or it's a lobbyist.
Yes.
You know?
Or a college student like me. Oh, my dad's credit card.
Yeah, maybe that. Yeah.
So you look at it, and you're like, well, which is seedier?
Right.
He's using his campaign fund, or he's letting AT&T
pay for his meal.
For his stuff. Because they all do junkets
on
corporate dime. Yeah.
Incredible. Kristen, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having
me. Appreciated. It's Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune.